Welcome to Faith Renewed, a ministry of Faith Recovery Fellowship right here in Alaska. We believe that knowing Jesus as Lord is the most important decision anyone can make. And our mission is to share the true gospel with everyone. Join us today as Pastor Scott shares today's sermon, bringing a message of hope, restoration, and new life through Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that you would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ personally and experience the freedom and true salvation that's found in Him. You can learn more about our church ministries by visiting us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org. God is good. Jesus saves, and lives are changed when we surrender our lives to Him. Amen.
So we're going to be in John chapter 10, starting in verse 17. Jesus has been in the process of being in confrontation with the Pharisees, and at the same time, sharing the truth about who He is and who He was at that time as well. So John chapter 10, starting in verse 17, "This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the right to lay it down. I have the right to take it again. I have received this command from my Father." We're going to continue on, but I want to stop right there for a moment. Jesus predicted His own death, and He made a statement that makes no sense at all if He is not who He claims to be. Jesus claimed to be the Messiah, and we're going to see that in this passage. He wants us to recognize Him for exactly who He is. And I can understand, in part at least, that the Jewish leaders had a hard time recognizing who Christ was because some of His statements were completely over the top as far as His own personal character and His own deity. It made no sense to a lot of people. But as we read through the Gospel of John, we continue to see many believed. Many believed. People came and believed, and it was good. This statement that Jesus makes in John 10:17, "This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so I may take it up again." You know, there's a couple of words in here that are important for us to recognize the definition of, and one of them is, in the Holman we read, "I have the right to lay it down, I have the right to take it up again." And that word in English can mean a lot of different things. But in the original language, in the Greek language, it means that I have the authority to lay it down. And I have the authority to take it up again. So we see in Scripture and other places that God raised Jesus from the dead. And we accept that as being true. And then we see in John 10, that Jesus says, "I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again." Well, there's no real confusion here in that God raised Christ from the dead. Jesus is God in the flesh. And it's by His own authority that He laid down His life and He took it up again. It's important for us to recognize because the world tells us a lot of confusing things about God, about who Jesus is, about who Jesus claimed to be, who we see from the Scriptures, Christ's authority, Christ's power, Christ's ability to do what He did. And it's important for us to recognize, and we need to take it to heart. We need to take it to heart who Jesus really is. We need to recognize that Jesus is the Son of God, yes. He is God in the flesh, yes. He is the great I Am, yes. He is the one who can change your life, yes. He does all of that. He does all of that because of His divine character and because of the very thing that He says of the Father. "This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life. You know, without Jesus dying on that cross, we would be lost. There would be no believers as we know it today in the Church of Jesus Christ. And the fact that he has the power to lay down his life and then to take it back up again is phenomenal. It's amazing. It's a truth beyond our understanding, because nobody has ever died and rose himself from the grave. It's never happened. No religious leader in the world has ever accomplished what Jesus accomplished, has done what Jesus has done. And it's important for us to recognize, I have the right to lay it down. I have the right to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. John is very clear about what he says here. And we see this even in the Gospel of John as far back as chapter 1. But right here in John 3:16, for God so loved the world in this way, he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. One verse, if you remember and memorize John 3:16, you know what God's purpose for life is, what God's purpose for his ministry is, what God's purpose for our life is, because he promises us that we will not perish, but have eternal life. People who don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior are literally lost. And it's harsh. It sounds harsh, but it's actually not harsh. It's actually loving, because people need to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. People need to understand him for who he really is and for what he really did. And we hear all kinds of lies from the devil. Lots of different ways to heaven, lots of different opportunity to go to heaven. Maybe there is a heaven, maybe there isn't a heaven. All of these different claims that people make, but the reality is, we know as believers in Christ, not only is there a heaven, not only is there a Father in heaven, but the way to find ourselves there is through one way. Jesus said himself in John 14, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Not 99% of the people, all of the people. Everyone has the opportunity to know him. And that's the whole promise of John 3:16, that you will have eternal life. But the caveat, I guess, of that whole thing is that whoever believes in him, whoever puts their confidence or trust in him, that's not just acknowledging who Jesus is. But if it doesn't become reality to us, if we don't believe it in our heart, if we don't accept it as true in our heart, if we don't recognize that he forgives our sin, that he changes our life, that he restores us, that he quickens our spirit, that he makes us alive unto himself. If we don't know that, then head knowledge is not going to help us get there. I really think that the church as a whole, worldwide and especially in North America, has a lot of people that know the truth. They read the truth. They understand the truth. They accept the truth, but they don't really believe the truth. They don't really know that the truth is real to them and that it changes their life. And if we don't get that message across somehow to the people in our world, we're not going to save everybody in the world. We're not going to save anybody, really. But we are going to be blessed by sharing the message with people who will make the choice of Jesus Christ. Because John 3:18 tells us anyone who believes in him is not condemned. But anyone who does not believe in him is already condemned. If you don't believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior, you inherited your fallen nature. And that fallen nature is what is going to be the crux of our downfall, our loss. We're sinners by nature and by choice. By nature, because we inherited our fallen nature from Adam. by choice, because nobody has to tell you not to steal the cookies out of the cookie jar. You're still going to do it, no matter what. So just a little bit of an aside, but I think it's actually the crux of the whole message. I have received this commandment from my Father. Jesus came, Revelation tells us, Jesus came to be the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. A truth that is hard for me to wrap my head around, honestly. God knew that this is what was going to happen. He knew that we were going to have wars and rumors of wars. He knew that Adam was going to sin and Eve was going to be deceived in the garden. He knew all of it. And yet he still chose to create the world. He still chose to make us. And he still chose that desire to have a relationship with us in spite of the sin and the cost to him to pay the penalty for our sin. It's hard for me to wrap my head around. Jesus came, he died for our sin, to spend eternity with him in heaven. And that's exciting. You're not going to feel terrible anymore. You're not going to have pain that when you wake up in the morning and you have to stretch in order to get out of bed. You're not going to have any of that. We're going to be a new creation and live in a new body. God has blessed us so incredibly, so very much, all because Jesus said, I have the authority to lay my life down. I have the authority to pick it back up. The cross was a terrible thing. I read it in the Word, and it's enough for me to understand it was a terrible, terrible thing. But God's grace was demonstrated through the cross, or we wouldn't have the opportunity to have eternal life. Now, that's hard for us to recognize sometimes because the cross was horrible. The cross was agonizing for Jesus. And he paid that price for us out of love and grace so that we could have the gift of eternal life by grace. But grace is always there. Grace is always present in our difficulty. Grace is always present in our life because Jesus loves us. God loves us. It's an incredible story, and it's an amazing story, because without grace, where would we be? We would be lost. We would be undone. We would simply be floundering in a world that is broken with no possibility of change. Again, a division took place among the Jews because of these words. Many of them were saying, he has a demon and he's crazy. Why do you listen to him? Others were saying, these aren't the words of someone demon-possessed. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? So the division was, just like today, some believed and some didn't. It's not unusual for that scenario to be true, because people in their lost condition, as was what was going on with the Pharisees, they chose not to believe. They chose not to accept Christ. And we'll see this as we move forward. They chose not to because they wanted to maintain their own position. They wanted to maintain their own authority. They wanted to maintain their own place in Judaism and their own place under the authority, the rule of Rome, even though they told us many times in the scripture, we've never been the servants of anybody. We've never been the slaves of anybody. But they've been in Babylon. They've been in Rome, they've been in other places with the Philistines. They've been in places where they were truly captives, but they refused to accept the fact that when Jesus came, he offered them something so much more wonderful and glorious than they could ever imagine in their position of authority. But they simply couldn't stand the idea They knew exactly where Jesus came from. They accepted that. And I'll tell you why I can say that, because in Matthew chapter 12, verses 24 and following, he says, the Pharisees heard this when he had actually restored the sight and the ability to speak to a person. And they said this, the man drives out demons only by Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons. Catch that. They knew, and that's why this passage of scripture in Romans is so important, they knew exactly who Jesus was and is. And yet they did not want to submit to that thought. So they blamed him, they accused him of driving out demons by Satan's power, Beelzebul. Knowing their thoughts, Jesus told them, every kingdom divided against itself is headed for destruction, and no city or house divided against itself will stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? Jesus knew exactly, and he accused them of exactly what they were doing. He knew exactly what they were doing. And if I drive out demons by Beelzebul, who are your sons driving them out by? For this reason, they will be your judges. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the one to come. Why are there so many people in the world who have heard the gospel, have recognized the gospel, and have rejected the gospel, have rejected the prompting of the Spirit of God in their life to draw them into that relationship with Christ that promises them eternal life, because they deny the work of the Spirit of God in their heart? They deny the drawing of the Spirit of God in their life to draw them into the truth of a relationship with Him. No different than the Pharisees of old, people make a choice either to accept Christ as Lord and Savior or to reject that truth. You have to take the whole picture and put it together to see the truth. You have to see exactly the root of what the Word of God teaches us when you take the composite thought of the Scriptures together and bring it together, you can see the whole picture. Now, we're limited. I know we can't see everything there is to see. But the simple truth is that the choice that we have is what keeps us from having and living a godly life, what keeps us from a relationship with Christ or not. Jesus said, you can speak a word against me, the Son of Man, and it will be forgiven. How many of us have used God's name in vain? How many of us have said things about Christ that are not true, not redemptive? But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him. Now, why is that true? Simply because if we deny the drawing and the prompting of the Spirit of God in our life, there is no other choice for us. There is no other choice for us. We have to accept the truth as it is revealed to us, or there is no other option. I know when I came to Christ as Lord and Savior in 1973, a long time ago for most people, it was because I knew at that particular time and in that moment that I had such a need in my heart that only God could fix it. Only He could change me. Only He could make me better. Only He could make me into a person who actually glorified Him rather than being the lost, broken person I was prior. And if I had rejected Him at that time, I don't know where I'd be today. But I know it wouldn't be with Him. So it's an important thing for us to recognize. God has a purpose for our life. But that purpose always is in cooperation with our willingness to submit to His authority in our life and allow Him to do what He's going to do. Allow Him to take us where He wants us to be, to lead us where He wants us to be, to convict us and to show us the truth about what He wants to do with our life, and then allow Him to do it. Because we can always reject it. We can always make the wrong choice. We can always do what we want to do instead. God has a purpose for each and every one of us, and He wants us to experience His grace, His mercy, His love, His blessing in our lives because we say, okay, Lord, here I am. Just like Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, here I am, Lord, send me. He wants us to make the first step, and then the next step, and then the next step. So the purpose of what we're seeing here is that the Pharisees chose to not believe in Jesus. And then the festival of dedication took place in Jerusalem, and it was winter. Jesus was walking in the temple complex in Solomon's colonnade. Then the Jews surrounded Him and asked, how long are you going to keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. So the festival of dedication is what is commonly called, or what we understand now, as Hanukkah. And it's celebrated right after Christmas here in the world today. It's also called the Feast of Lights, taking place in December, near the time of the Christian Christmas celebration. Festival of Dedication is in Scripture here in John chapter 10, actually Hanukkah, still celebrated today, celebrated in many, many parts of the world today. But the point of what we're looking at here is that the Pharisees said to Him, if you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. Jesus said, I did tell you, and you don't believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you don't believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one. What an amazing, powerful statement. The Father and I are one. But all the way through the Gospel of John, we see the picture of Jesus' ability to heal, starting with turning water into wine, making a lame man walk, showing a Samaritan woman the truth of the gospel and understanding who He was, and then all the other miracles that He performed all the way up until John 10, where we are now. In every case, He says, I showed you. I showed you. You're asking me a question about whether I'm the Messiah, and I have shown you, and I have shown you, and I have shown you. I have clearly done what nobody can possibly do except God. Make a blind man see, make a mute speak, give health, restore somebody's ability to walk. All of these different miracles that Jesus did, all of them demonstrate the power of Him as the Messiah, as the Son of God. And yet they say, show, if you tell us plainly. I guess if you can't see, you need to be told plainly. But you don't believe me because you are not my sheep. Pretty cut and dry. My sheep know me. They follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. There are lots of people claiming to know Christ as Lord and Savior who believe that it's possible for them to throw away their salvation. And Jesus says it right here in John chapter 10. He says it in many other places in Scripture, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, all of the different messages that Paul wrote. When you have eternal life, it is yours. But the simple truth is that I gave them eternal life and they will never perish. That is an incredible promise. Does my relationship with God depend entirely upon me? Thank God it does not depend entirely on me. Jesus says it will never go away. It will never perish.
Today, as we close, remember the incredible comfort found in the words of Jesus. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Our hope does not rest in our ability to hold on to Christ, but in His perfect power to hold on to us. The Good Shepherd willingly laid down His life for His sheep, took it up again in victory, and promises eternal security to all who belong to Him. We would also like to ask you to partner with us as we reach across the state of Alaska on radio and, Lord willing, TV as well. Everything helps when it comes to making sure more and more people have the chance to hear the gospel of Christ. For there is no other message of salvation on earth. As Christ continues to change lives, we ask you to visit us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org to help us in the way of donations. For we aim to ensure that more people have the opportunity to know Jesus Christ and the power of His resurrection.